thought when it was flashing, it was going, okay, start all over. Anyhow, as you know, we've been going through this. We're on that 8 out of 16, and is not easily provoked. I looked hard through the Bible. There's only like a few places where the word provoked is even used in the Word of God. But I did find a couple places where it talks about different kinds of provoking. Provoked isn't something good, and it isn't something evil. It's something that drives you from one spot to another. You're provoked to do this, or you're provoked to do that. this point of charity that we're looking at today is not easily provoked. Just simply means that we're not easily swayed from the right hand or to the left. That we as the church needs to be steadfast. And this is an attribute that Christ gave us, that Christ was. You know, he wasn't swayed by the religious people, and he wasn't swayed by the sinners. He wasn't swayed by the powers of darkness. He was guided through the power of light, but his way did not sway to the right hand nor to the left. He stayed right on the place, right on the point. He continually walked in the holiness and the righteousness that the Father gave him. And that's an attribute that, that the church needs to have on them, in them today. We're often swayed or provoked one way or the other by the news cycle. How many of us get swayed by the news cycle, right? How many of us get swayed by our emotions, right? Our emotion says go this way, our emotions say go that way, and we chase those emotions. But Jesus says be steadfast. Don't be moved to the right or the left. Don't be provoked one way or the other. Maintain your course. And maintain the course of Christ. Jesus, he set his jaw like iron to the call that was set before him. He didn't slow down his pace. He didn't go faster than he needed to be. You couldn't push or prod him. Something that I was taught a long time ago, you can't push a rope. Do you know that? Have you ever tried it? Lay a rope on the ground, try to push it. It just kind of bunches up in front of you. You can pull a rope easy enough. You can lead a rope, but you can't push a rope. And to be unprovocable, to know who you are in Christ, and to make that stand, this attribute, charity, that really means love. That love is not easily provoked, not swayed one side or the other. You maintain the course. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Charity is not easily provoked. And provoked from Webster's 1828 dictionary is to spur, to drive in a direction, to make angry, to offend, to incense. Okay, and that example that he uses is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know that we can provoke our children to be anything that you make them to be. That's where the Bible says, raise up your children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. That doesn't mean beat them with the Bible 7 days a week. What that means is learn the characteristic of that child and raise them up in the way that God has already prepared for them. Amen. Right? If your child is a mechanic and he doesn't get into schooling, he doesn't like paperwork and pencils, well, find a way to meet that need, right? And incorporate it, raise them up. But if you provoke them, you force them into sitting into a small desk in a cubicle, you just end up with this a child like me that absolutely hated school. I hated it. Why? Because I wasn't cut that way. You give me a hunk of wood and a handful of nails, I'd sit there all day, drive them in, pull them out, drive them in, pull them out, drive them in, pull them out. I'd just do that. Why? Because that's what I was cut to be, as a labor guy. I wasn't cut to be a doctor or a nurse. Amen? There are some folks who like that. They can sit, they can read, they can study, and their parents should bring them up in that way. If they're going to be a lawyer or a doctor or a professor or something like that, a Bible scholar. Don't send them to cemetery school, but get them in the Word of God, right? And bring them up that way. But you should know your child and the bend that is in them from just knowing them. But we're also, is also on a good side, it from Webster's also, it means to excite, to cause, to move, to stir up. The example that he uses is from Hebrews 10. He says 10, 24, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. So on one side, we're supposed to not provoke. On another side, we are supposed to provoke. And so when it says charity is not easily provoked, how does that lay out in personal life? How does that work? Right? And that's, I think, this body of Christ here, that's what we do, is we weigh these things out. We say, all right, that's what it says in the Bible, right? Now, how do I apply that to my personal life that I could be pleasing unto the Lord today? Right? How can I please the Lord today by not being provoked to the right hand or the left? How can I please the Lord just by walking and maintaining the walk that He's called me into be? How can I stop from being provoked? Now, it doesn't say that you can't be provoked. He says you're not easily provoked. That's why I love our Sunday school. Because we're not easily provoked. Ask our Sunday school teacher. Because we're not easily pushed to the right side or to the left side. We got this idea. We're heading for it. And you've got to prove it through Scripture or we ain't moving. Right? And that's, we're not easily provoked. Folks who don't study the Word of God, who really don't look into it, they'll be driven by every wind of doctrine. They'll be pushed away by every idea that comes up. Ooh, this is neat. They go, I call them whiz-bang Christians. It's whatever's pretty and fancy and shiny at the moment. Bing! Now I'm going to go over here. Bing! I'm going to go over there. But they're never really steadfast in anything. What we need is a confidence that what we believe is real. How do you balance that? How do you work that out in your personal life? That's what we're going to get into. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His provision in this. Father, we thank You for these times. We thank You, Lord God, for these 16 attributes of Christ that's talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians, Lord Jesus, and how You tell us that these are Your attributes and You're offering them to people, to cracked vessels, Father, that we might be made whole in You. Father, that we might be that perfect person to You, that we might be that holy person to You, Father, that we might study the Word of God, that we would not be ashamed. We would study it to be approved to You, Father, that we would not be moved to the right nor to the left, but we would remain steadfast, not in the doctrines of men, not in the teachings of devils, Father, not in the perversion, but in the steadfast truth of Your living Word. Father, I pray even now, as I'm about ready to speak, as I'm about ready to open up Your Scripture, Lord, work in me to help the body, to edify the body, that we can walk in unity with You, the one true Lord. We thank You. We praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're not easily provoked. Since there are two differences, we need to look at this. Remember, true charity is not easily provoked. It doesn't mean that you can't be provoked. I was provoked from once saved, always saved, to once converted, always converted. All right? It's not the confession that saved you. It's the conversion that saved you. And I truly believe if you're converted, then you are converted. God has changed you. You're a new creature. And in that, you can walk in holiness. Why? Because you're being led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. You're taking these 16 attributes of Christ and applying them in your life in such a way that it changes your behavior because of the inward man being renewed daily. By what? The power of the starts with W and ends with Erd. Word. Amen. In the Word. That's we grow that way. We grow in faith. We grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so in that we learn, we grow, we are provoked, but we're not easily provoked. Because I was provoked easily when I first was a believer, that once you prayed after me, you could never lose your salvation. You were there forever, no matter what. But when you look in the Bible, it says that anybody who does these things and talks about the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, but I said the prayer, I believe, but if I do those things, I won't inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that doesn't mean once saved, always saved. So it took a long time. It took a little bit of reading. It took believing God's word above the doctrines of men that I was taught. Mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib. Right? I had to be convinced. It was not easy to convince me because I was a dispensationalist. I taught the truth. Dispensational truth. I taught that, and I believed it. I taught it at Open Door. I had two huge whiteboards, and I filled up the thing. I taught it just like the guys taught us to teach it. Yeah. Anyhow, taught us that way, and so I regurgitated those things. But even in doing that, as I was reading the scripture, I was saying these things don't add up. But I wasn't easily provoked out of that wrong sense of thinking until I absolutely got rid of those other books and I stopped reading these things that authors were printing up and I started just reading the Bible. Amen. And as I read the Bible, I saw some things that I had been taught that didn't add up to what the Word of God says. And I came across that scripture, let every man be a liar, but the Word of God be true. So guess what that means?
It says.
It says exactly what it feels like. Honey, anyhow. In that, I came to a confidence, I came to an understanding that I don't know everything and I know nothing without God's word. And I am not provoked. You can't get me off of something that I know to be true. Now, if I have doubt in my mind, you can move me. You can provoke me one side or the other. But if I know that it's true, I will fight and I will die for that. I will, well, like the apostles did. They could not be provoked. They all died horrible, what we would call horrible death, but what God would call glorious deaths. Jesus could not be provoked. You would call it a horrible death. God called it a glorious death. Burial and resurrection, right? Not being easily provoked. Meaning that we are not quickly or easily swayed. We don't have knee-jerk reactions. We're not moved away from the faith just because somebody comes up and says, this is a brand new thing. In fact, when you hear brand new doctrines, beware. Because there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that you think is brand new, it's been done before. All of these things, all these new fancy understandings, extra-biblical understandings of the Word of God. Beware of those things, because they can draw. In fact, Jesus said that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to do miracles, and if it were possible, he would sway, he would fool, he would drag even the elect, because he's going to do all these things. That's why charity, the true attribute of charity in your life is not easily swayed, it's not easily moved off of the mark of righteousness in our personal lives. Now, if you are one of those people who easily get blown away by every wind of doctrine that comes up, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go over there, I suggest you get into the Word of God. Amen? Because there's one foundation that cannot be moved. There's one cornerstone that cannot be changed. And as you know, the foundation is Christ Jesus. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus. And there is no other foundation than that foundation which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen? So how do you get on that foundation that you'd be not easily moved? Well, you got to do what Jesus did when he was talking about the storms in people's life. You got to dig down to the foundation. You got to get through some of the garbage of life and get down to that solid foundation so when the storms of life come, you don't get shaken. So how do you do that? Well, make up your mind, I will not be easily provoked. I will not be easily changed. It's going to take some proof to make me change what I believe in. Not just man's ideas, but it needs to come directly from God. And so these knee-jerk reactions, not easily shaken. We humans are prone to move with the excitement or the fear of the stimulation of the day. Okay, right? How many of us got all freaked out about the shot? Amen? Or still freaked out about the shot, right? How many of us get freaked out about the election thing, right? I tell you, it bothers me. But I have this word from the Lord that my kingdom's not of this world, yeah. Right? That's what Jesus said. My kingdom's not of this world. So I really don't care if Hillary gets hired. I know that may come to a shock to you guys. It doesn't bother me. You know why? Because this nation is going to dissolve anyhow. Right? This nation, this constitution that we hold on to is not the Bible. You know what will not be shaken? God's word. Amen. It will stand for how long? Forever, for all eternity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's how you don't get provoked easily. Anything outside of this word, outside of the Bible, is a lie. Don't get swayed by anything that's outside of this word. Are there perilous times among us? Amen. Amen. There are perilous times among us, but that's okay. Because Jesus said there would be perilous times, right? But don't be easily moved by the perilous times. Don't lose your faith because of this event or that event or Russian, Mongolia, or Russian, Ukraine, or Poland and France, or Africa, or Europe. Don't be bothered about that. Black Lives Matter. Okay, yeah, sure. All right. So do white lives. So do tall lives, short lives. You know, it doesn't, all those things, yeah, they matter. You know why they matter? Because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. God doesn't care about the pigmentation of your skin. So don't be swayed by that kind of stuff. Don't be swayed by the ways of the world. Because I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the ways of the world change like every 5 minutes. My wife was telling me, she was reading something in the news that she had missed, but it was like 2 days ago. Right? 2 days ago was old news. It's moving so fast that whole situation has already changed. But if you got into that news cycle 2 days ago and got all worked up about it, got easily provoked, then you may have missed the blessings of that very day. Because we're focused on the waves of the world and not the steadfastness of Christ Jesus. Remember that these 16 attributes of Christ, we need to commit ourselves to it, that we would be steadfast in Christ, in our belief. Do we really have what it takes to simply stand and not be easily provoked or moved away from truth? This not easily provoked is equal to and not being moved by every wind of doctrine, what we've already talked about. I'll be in Ephesians chapter 4 again this week. Have you noticed I've been doing a lot of Ephesians? I could have actually pulled the same ideal scripture out of Romans or Galatians or any of the above, but for some reason God has me here in Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter 4, 13 and 14. Actually, we've got to go before that. Paul here writing to the church that God gave some to be apostles, he gave some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists. This is verse 11. Some to be pastors, some to be teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, and the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measurement of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, in charity. So God gave all of these different parts. He gave prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. To make us to come into the unity, the oneness of Christ Jesus, that we would not be easily swayed, that we wouldn't be taken by cunning craftiness or the sleight of men or every wind of doctrine. So how is that in real life? It's easy to say in Scripture, right? But how is that in real life? How do you not be easily swayed by every war that comes up? There'll be rumors and rumors of wars, and there'll be war and famines in diverse places, earthquakes and weird things happening in the weather. Well, how do you not be swayed or moved or be, amen, you got it, my brother. You have to have God's word not just on your shelf, but in your hand, opens up in your word, and you'll see these things that are coming to be. And you'll find out that in all of those scenarios, there's one victor. It's Christ Jesus and everybody who believes in him and not moved away from the faith. See, we're not those who turn away into perdition, right? Thank you. We're not those who are easily swayed, being brought back into destruction. But we are those who hold on to the faith. We're those who are not easily moved from one exciting thing to the other exciting thing. We stay steadfast, not easily made to think anything other than what the Word of God says. Till we all come unprovoked, unmoved through the faith. This brings, this builds the body into an even deep, to an ever deepening and stronger faith, becoming unmovable. When the world sees something steadfast, right? When the world's freaking out because it's burning and all of this stuff is happening, and they see the man and the woman of Christ stand there. After doing all you do, you stand there. You don't move. You don't jump around. You don't get overly excited about stuff.
Amen.
Trust God.
Amen.
I trust God. And what the world is looking for, they're looking for a solid foundation, because they know that the news cycle is going to lie to them. They know that there's no hope outside. There's no hope in anything that they believe in. So they're looking for something that will not move, that will not be blown around by every strong wind, by every disaster that comes up. They're looking for something that says, all right, yeah, this is real. The hardships are real. The election was stolen, all right? That's okay. I'm trusting in Christ, all right? The COVID-19 is a real thing. It is the absolute real thing. I'm not saying that it's not. But I'm not going to be swayed by the news cycle. God says that we're all appointed unto to die, and then comes the judgment. All right? So if you die by the flu or by the COVID, you're still going to die. Guess what? You're going to die on that day, whether you had the flu or whether you didn't have the flu. That day, if you didn't die of the flu, you wouldn't have got hit by a truck or a bird. On the all right, you're on one of those roller coasters, thank you. One of those fast things you go to the fair on, is up and down like that. So you're on a roller coaster, and your day to die comes, and guess what? A sparrow will hit you right between the eyes. You're going to die on that day. And it doesn't matter whether it's of the flu or whether it's a bird of paradise fly up your nose, right? Whatever it is, you're going to. So trust God, move forward. Don't worry about these things that the church seems to be so entertained and swayed by. The world's swayed by all this stuff. And it should not be in the body of Christ. We ought to be the only thing that is unmovable in this world. Is, flat earth or round earth. Doesn't matter. You know why? The cross didn't change.
Amen.
Our faith does not change. Personally, I don't care if it is a flat earth. I don't care if it's a round earth. What I care about is that my faith is in the Christ who died on the cross for my sin. That's all that matters.
Right.
And that I have a kingdom that he promised to give me. So I will not be moved from that mark, no matter what the scientists say, no matter what the religions say, no matter what anything else comes up, I will not be moved. Why? Because I'm steadfast in the faith. the other disciples were leaving Jesus, right? And because he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood. If not, you don't have any part of me. And then they said, this is a hard saying, and most of the disciples left. And then he turned to the 12 and he said, will you leave also? What did Peter say?
Where do we go?
Where do we go? You got the word of life. I will not be a slave. Where are we going to go? There may be hard teachings in the Bible that I don't understand, but where am I going to go? I'm going to stay with Christ because that's where life is. See, and when you really have charity in you, that love, you are not moved to the right hand or the left hand. You stay right where you need to be all the time. Psalm 119, 104, and 105. And the psalmist writing, praising God, through thy precepts I get understanding. All right? Through whose precepts? God's. The word of the Lord. Through his precepts I get understanding. How do I know that I can't be moved? Because I trust in the precepts of God. All right? Therefore, I hate the false way. All right, people? Do you really hate the false way? If you're studying the precepts of God, you're not going to move out of that, then you would know what is right and what is wrong. You'll know what is a false way. Fear is a false way. You know what? You can get a herd of buffalo to run off of a cliff that they know that's there if you get them scared enough. That's how the Indians used to hunt buffalo, right, before they got the guns. And so anyhow, they'd get a herd of buffalo, they'd get them all stampeding, running in one way, and they would direct those buffalo to a deadfall, and they would run off the buffalo. How many Christians are running off a deadfall? Because they're not trusting the word of God. Because they're not looking into the precepts of God. And they're being swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes up. They're being swayed by every panic that the media sends in. How many times in the news cycle do you hear panic? The end of the world is coming today. Panic, panic, worry, run to the hills, be afraid. Where Jesus says, don't fear. Fear not. I am with you. How do you like that one? All right, so yeah, there is all these crazy things that the news cycle is talking about. Amen. It's real. Are you going to be moved that way? Are you going to be afraid of that? Or are you going to stand there? These fiery darts of the devil that keep coming over the horizon. They're one thing and another. There's so many of them, I can't even begin to imagine what they all are. I could pick on one or two, but that's just picking on one or two. That's like, you know, picking all your peas out of your soup and then eating them first because you like peas more than you like the soup. My problem. So. But it doesn't mean that you still got to eat all the soup, right? Anyhow, through thy precepts I get my understanding. Through the word of God we understand what is true. Through the word of God we understand what is right. Through the word of God we know what to fear. Do you know that the Bible does say fear something? What does the Bible say fear?
The Lord.
Fear the Lord. Amen. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of understanding. Where when you first come to this idea that you will not be moved by the ways of the world, but I'm going to fear the one true God, and I'm going to honor him with all of my life. I'm not going to fear the one who's able just to take my life. Big deal. Kill me. Send me home. But I'm going to fear the one who's able to kill me and send me to hell. Because there's no man on this earth that can send me to hell except me. Right? I can walk away. That will send me to hell. But where am I going to go? He has the word of life. I'm not going to be moved from that. I'm not going to be swayed from that. 105 of Psalm 119 says this way, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God. How am I going to stay in that narrow way? How am I going to stay? Amen. You got it, John. Amen. You do it by the word of God. How do I know what is right and what is not right? How do I know how not to be easily provoked, not easily moved? As I read God's word, I believe God's word, I focus my life in God's word, and I walk on the pathway that the word of God says. Now, what if you don't read his way, his word? then that can't be your precept. You can't know him. You can't love him. You can't honor him unless you read this and apply it in your life in a real way. It has to be real every day. God will tell you exactly what you need from moment to moment on every single day. All right? When this scripture becomes a fact in our lives, we will not easily be provoked, turning from the paths of righteousness. When we really believe that thy precepts, the precepts of God, that's where I'm going to get my understanding. That's where I'm going to understand what's right, what's wrong, what's in, what's out, what's up, what's down. What God expects out of me are in the precepts of God's word. And as long as I keep those precepts before my face and not be worried about all the peripheral stuff, I can have his word as a light, as a word, his word as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen? And that's the only way. That's the only way I'm not going to be easily moved. I understand the panic of the world as these things are coming up. I understand why people go this side and that side, and they're herky-jerky, and they really don't know what to hold on to, because the world doesn't know God.
That's right.
They don't know his precepts. They don't know his promises. They really don't understand that he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The world hasn't come to that understanding that God is love. Now, they'll say that, but they don't understand charity. They don't understand what love is. God is love, and his word is righteous, and he's not going to bring you into anything that will not bring him glory. Amen? Right? Now, understand that. Anything that he's going to bring you through, if you're following his word, you're keeping that light on your path, you're keeping the word there, and you can see where your feet are going because of the precepts of God, no matter where you go, you're in the middle of God's will. All right? And he will let no harm come to you. And you say, wait a second, I know people are in God's will, and they're being persecuted for the righteousness of Christ. Now, where are they going to end up? Right? They're going to end up in the presence of the Most High God. They're going to be glorified. They're going to enter into their reward. Amen? Do you believe that's good? I really think that that's really good. All right? I think that if I trust God with the fullness of my heart and walk in the holiness that he's provided, that he has a way for me. Right? And if I stay in those precepts, I will not easily be moved to the right, to the left. I won't be knee-jerky. I can't think of another word of it. Where you just, oh, I'm going to go here. Oh, I'm scared. I'm going to go over here. I'm being pushed around by the pressures of the world instead of just digging in and getting built on that foundation of Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24 says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Oh, okay. Wait, do what to your profession of faith? Hold fast. Don't let go. Don't be provoked. Don't move to the right hand. Believe what you say is real enough to live what the realness is in Scripture. Right? Believe it. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. I believe God's word. Regardless of what the world says. Why? I know he's faithful. You know how I know he's faithful? Because I have walked this walk for years now. For longer than some of you have been alive, and not nearly as long as some of you others have been alive. We got some ancients in here. And so, I haven't been as far as you have, but I have the same faith you have. I can tell by his faithfulness to you, Jim. I can tell by his faithfulness to you, Dave. I can tell by his faithfulness. Who else is older than me? You, Ellen. Wendy, amen. I can tell by his faith, Bonnie, I can tell by his faithfulness to you that I can trust and I can follow his word because he never let you down. He never let you down. Huh?
I escaped.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if you're older than me. Yeah, you probably are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would stop. Let's get out of there. So I was going to make an old joke. Yeah. But there's no sense in it. He has promised to show you the way. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. All right? let us consider, I need to consider you. I need to constantly remind you, and you need to constantly remind me of God's goodness, of his faithfulness. He is he who promised is faithful to keep us. He will not let us go unless we jerk ourselves out of his hand. But he won't willingly let us go. He doesn't want to let us go. He doesn't want anybody to go. Even the worst sinner in the world, which would be me, by the way. All right? If Paul said he was the worst, and the only reason Paul was worse is I wasn't born yet. All right? So when I got born, I was a lot worse than what Paul was. And he said he was the worst. But anyhow, even the worst sinner on the face of the planet, Jesus died to make free. He died to give us a steadfastness in the word. He died to give us the spirit of charity that we would not easily be provoked to the right hand or the left hand. And he gave us a concrete, well-lit pathway if we'll only use the light for that path. Right? That's how I'm not going to be swayed. He's not going to bring me in or out. Another way that Jesus put it, the path which leads to the straight and the narrow way. How do I get to that straight, narrow way? The word of God, amen. Jesus said, I am the, and nobody, amen. Praise God, you guys read your Bible, amen. So anyhow, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. So how do I keep in this narrow path? How do I keep in this straight way that's going to lead to the gate of righteousness? I stay in him. I stay in his word. I apply his word in my life daily. This is Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there are many in that go, and there be many which go therein. Alright? If we are easily pushed into the broad way. Now the whole world is being sucked into the news cycle of the day. The whole world is being sucked into the panic of the moment. But God's calling us to not be brought into that way. Yeah. We're supposed to stay in this narrow way. There's only a few that find it. It is for everybody, but God knows the heart of every man. He knows that most men are going to be knee-jerk. They do knee-jerk reactions. We have an instinct within us. It's called fight or flight. We're either going to fight or we're going to run away. Well, Jesus says, don't just do something, stand there. Stand and see the hand of God. When you've done all you can do, stand ye therefore, right? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the day. We've got to be able to truly trust him. When we really trust God at his word, in his word, we'll not be easily moved to the right hand or the left hand. We'll stay in that narrow, simplistic way of Christ, trusting him. When you do all that you can not to be provoked out of the way of biblical righteousness, not let self-righteous or religious people push you to the way and into good works without holiness or the works of evil. See, we can easily be brought into this thought. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We can be provoked into thinking that good works get you in a better relationship with God. God already loves you to the utmost, right? He cannot love you any more than what he has loved you. And he promised you a reward if you walk with him, if you trust him, if you do not turn your back on him, if you keep the way of Christ, then he has a place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go, I'm going to come to you. And he's talking to his disciples, those who were going to walk fully with him. Jesus said, I've not lost one except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Anybody who is in Christ will be in Christ. But you've got to make sure you're in Christ, which brings us back to the first pillar of salvation. Are you really saved? If you're really saved, these 16 attributes of charity will be working somewhere in your body. Now, I have not made perfect courage yet, right? I do. I watched that 2,000 Mules, right? It was a new thing by how the election was stolen. I got angry. I got angry. My vote's worthless. Why do I even bother? I got swayed. All right? And then I went and reread my sermon this morning. I said, all right, why am I even worried about that? Did God not put the imbecile that's in the office in the office? Right. Amen. Why? Because we deserve it. Right? We turned our back on him. He didn't turn our back on us. And he gave us exactly what we desired. A leader that can't make a whole sentence. It's okay. He caused the war in Ukraine and Russia. You know what? That's okay. Are there a lot of innocent people dying? No, because none's righteous. No, not one. All of sin can come to you. There are a lot of people that shouldn't have been dying in this, that are, but is God out of control in the midst of all of that? No. So why should I be moved to one side or the other? If I'm looking, really anticipating the kingdom of God, if I'm really looking and anticipating Jesus coming back, I don't need to be overcome by the news cycle of the moment. I need to have my mind, my heart, my focus on Jesus Christ. The next flu that's coming out of Africa or China or Russia or America, the next thing, you know, that's going to happen. So what? It's going to happen. That's not going to change me. It's not going to provoke me to get out of God's word. Am I supposed to do everything that I'm supposed to do? Absolutely. I'm supposed to stay in the way. I'm supposed to be steadfast. And when the world is looking for something that is unmovable, that's us. Mm-hmm. That's the church. So when the storms of this life come, if we are focused, if we're dug down to the bedrock of Jesus Christ, let the winds beat against us. We're going to stand. I'm not going to be moved to the right hand or to the left hand. I'm not going to be confused by the news cycle or by the thing that's coming up. And the reason I keep talking about the news cycle and the thing that's coming up, I believe that there's a thing coming up. I really do. And you think the last thing was bad? It ain't nothing compared to this next thing. All right? It's going to get worse. In fact, as I read the scripture, it doesn't say that things are going to get gooder and gooder. It says that they're going to wax worse and worse. Right? You think the election being stolen, last time the election was stolen, was bad? Well, wait till this next one. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to be worse. But it's okay. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to be provoked. I'm not going to be moved. I'm tired of being pushed around by fear. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is anyone just tired of being moved by the moment of the day? I'm tired of running. Tired of running to the right hand and left hand. I'm prepared. Let's just stand.
He hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Amen. But of his power, sound mind. You know? We have that. We're not supposed to be provoked into anything outside of love. When they come against us with the sword, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to show charity. When they smite me on the right cheek, I'm supposed to give them the left. When they take away my 401k. Amen? And if you don't think that's coming, leave it there. Because it's coming. I will guarantee you, before you know it, the government is going to take your savings. Well, it's okay. How much of that's gone? In fact, I've said this a lot. When a person goes to their grave, how many of them have all their stuff in a U-Haul following them? You leave it all here. You leave all your banking account here. You leave all that stuff here. None of that matters. Plus, we know that it's going to be all burnt up. 2 Peter says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. None of this world matters. So what does matter? Your soul matters. Joshua, your soul matters. The soul of your brother matters. The soul of your dad matters. Your children, they matter. Your moms, they matter. Your dads, they matter.
You matter, brother. I love you. That's the only thing that's going to last into eternity. I want to see you there, James. I want to see you there. You're part of my glory. You're part of my crown. You're part of what God has granted me to minister to. All of you. Only thing that really matters, my brother and sisters, my family, is that we love God and we love one another. Don't be moved out of that. Trust God. Move forward. Trust God, move forward. Don't be swayed by the urgency of the moment. Because I don't know if you've noticed it, the urgency of the moment is only for a moment, and then it's no longer urgent. Right? All this stuff that we're worried about, it's gone. I told you there's a story that my wife saw that was 2 days old. That emergency came and went. Right? It didn't really matter. So why did we get so worked up about it? You know, when I get worked up about that stuff, you know what I miss doing? The Word of God. So I'm all caught up in the news cycle, so I'm watching Name Your News thing for the moment. Whatever it is. I don't care which news cycle or where you're getting your news. You know what you're not doing? Reading your Bible. You know why? Because you can't read two books at the same time. You know, I've tried it. I even tried to lay out three or four Bibles at the same time. I can only read one at a time. I don't care how many of them I got laid out. What are we putting our focus in? Do we really believe that God is totally sovereign and He has it under control? If we do, then do not be easily provoked. Don't be moved to your right hand or your left hand. Don't be swayed by the false urgency. And that's what I'm going to call it. It's a false urgency. We think that we got to do something now. And really, all we got to do is stand. Do we really believe that all we have to do is stand? I stand so that the world can see me not afraid. I stand in righteousness so that when all of these things come against me, they can see the glory of God working through me, through you, through us. When they come and they take away your guns, and in New York they're going to do it, what you going to do? Not a whole bunch you can do. I would suggest don't stand there and say, I'm going to die with my gun in my hand. You know why? You're going to die with your gun in your hand. You know? Or think that you're going to save up enough food to go through the tribulation period. You know, you're not. You know what you will see? If you trust God, you're going to see miracles happen. You're going to see manna. You're going to see provision that you don't even know where it's coming from. It's just there. Because you trusted God. You stood. When all the world ran, you stood. Amen.
So we better pray.
Because
it's a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to make up our mind today.
Now. Amen. Yes.
Not to be moved.
Yeah.
Because I can see the storm clouds on the horizon. I don't know when it's going to come here. I don't know how fast it's moving. But I know it's coming. In the last 10 years of my life, I never dreamed it would be this evil in America. I never dreamed in our schoolhouses we would be teaching children that they're not what God created them to be, male and female. I never dreamed in a million years, that kids would think that they're actually dogs and cats, and that the world system would agree with them. And tend to the cotton to them. Furries? I never dreamed that they would call mothers. What did Deb call them this morning?
Birthing
people.
Oh.
Birthing?
Serious.
They're mothers. They're not birthing people. If you are a male, you cannot give birth.
Amen.
I do not care what the doctors do to you. you don't have what it takes. And if you're a female and you get all your stuff turned to male, that don't make you a man. All right? If you got crashed in an automobile crash and you were burned to ashes, they had to check DNA. They would find out whether you were male or female because all that plastic stuff's going to burn off anyhow. When we move away from the steadiness of God, the righteousness of God, then we're easily provoked. We're easily moved. But when you have charity, when you have Christ, when you have the holiness and the righteousness of God in you and on you and through you, you'll not easily be moved. Not that you can't be moved. You won't easily be moved. So, Happy Mother's Day.
Can I finish this?
Sure, yes, you can.
Verses, please.
Yeah.
This was led us, again, you've got your book, Bible open,
yeah,
reading along, and the Spirit took me here. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them shall be likened to the... And do them not shall be likened to the man which built the house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a parable that Jesus was talking about that I've been talking about all day. But praise God for that. That is exactly what I'm getting to. But if we dig down, right, what's the rest of it? The one who digs down to the foundation and builds his house upon the rock, though the winds will beat against the house, though the rains and the storms shall come, you will not fall.
Amen.
You'll not be easily provoked. You won't be afraid of these things. Why? Because Christ is in you. And you can stand. Amen? You can stand. But not in your strength. I can do how many things?
All.
Through who?
Christ.
That what?
Strengthens me.
Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Or who strengthens me? I can't do it on my own. We can't do this on our own. But with the Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, and we stay together in fellowship, we stay together in righteousness, we go through and dig through the Word of God, and we look at the things that are going on around us, we come together in that narrow pathway. We come together and we'll end up at the straight gate. We come together in unity under one body, under one head, with one focus, which is the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for this. I don't know this. Once we get there, we will see God in his fullness. We will see God in his power and his might. But we got to get past the fear, the insecurities of this world. When we get past that, God will use us as instruments of steadfastness, as instruments of light in a dark and dying world. Because y'all agree that the world is dark and dying? I don't know how bad it's got to get before Jesus comes back. He says it will be like it was in the days of Noah. You think it'll get worse? You say
it's just
warming up. Yeah, he's just warming up. I'm with you.
This is going to be the good old days. Sometime.
I mean, amen, Judge.
Christ said it'll be a worse time since the creation.
Since the creation.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how bad it was in Noah's day. I mean, Noah's wicked. The day was wicked.
Called it Great Tribulation.
Amen.
That's right.
And he has called us to go through that time.
Amen.
He called us to go through that time, not easily being provoked.
And he also said it, great falling away.
A great falling away?
The Bible says great.
It means great.
It means big time great.
He's not talking frosted flakes.
That's right.
Great. Yeah.
Curtis, just like Alan said too, you read these verses earlier in Hebrews 10, 24, but to Hebrews 10, 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more. You see the day
approaching. You see the day approaching.
Yep. We're to fellowship.
We are to fellowship. You know why? Because I need your strength.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to blow over a forest. You can blow over a tree pretty easy.
Yep.
But it's hard to blow over a forest, right? Because I'm going to lean against you, you're going to lean against me, and our roots are going to be all the way down to the solid earth, and we're going to be getting our nutrients from God.
Twofold cord.
It is not easily broken.
That's right.
That's why we come together. That's why we're studying the Word of God the way that we're studying the Word of God. Listen, I've heard this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 preached in 2.5 minutes. We're on our 9th, 10th week.
Amen.
That's right.
All right? And we ain't even started yet. But I'll guarantee you this, church, if we really start applying these truths to our life, we will become unmovable. Amen?
Amen.
You'll become unmovable. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I think this scripture here, God took me to just now. Remember, Paul defined the gospel.
Yeah.
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the Old Testament.
Yep.
That's all they had at that time. And he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Proof-based faith. And Paul here in 1 Timothy 4, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy.
Amen.
Proof based. Absolute faith.
Yeah.
With the laying on the hands of the presbytery, then he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Amen. So how are we going to persevere? How are we going to remain steadfast? Well, we do it first and foremost in the Word of God.
Right.
But I also need you.
Right?
We need each other. We need the Word of God, absolutely. We need the guiding of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But in and through that, we need each other. Folks, because it's going to get hard. Going to get harder than America's ever faced. But that's okay. God said it would. So what do I need? I need to be unshakable. I need to be confident in Christ and not myself. I need to have this love for God above all other things. And it's, all right, now I love God, but God's in you, right, Bonnie? You're born again, you got the Holy Spirit. That means I've got to love you. I mean, I've got to prefer you over myself. That's really what it's talking about here. And not move away from that. Do we get it? Do we get it? Amen?
Amen.
You can do these things. Because Christ is in you. And we can affirm these things because Christ is in us. And when the needy come, when they're looking for that firm foundation, we stand. Amen? So let's go and stand. Let's go and stand. Amen? Dear Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Father, for your goodness, your righteousness, and for these times that we're in, Lord God. Help us not be easily moved. Help us, Father, not to be pushed by every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
Don't let us be deceived by the things that are happening around us. Help us, Father, to stay firmly connected to the truth of your word and the confidence in the resurrection. Father, help us to love one another the way that you loved us and to always, always be seeking the kingdom of God. Lord, and your righteousness, and we can have confidence that all these things shall be added unto us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for these things in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now go home, have a strong week.
Put some honey in your coffee.
Put some honey in your coffee.
At the end, everybody had scripture.